Hello, everyone. Welcome to Turn the Light On. It's Pastor Kevin here. And hey, this week, I just wanted to take a moment and share some of my favorite sermons of all time with you. So you guys kick back and enjoy these messages this week. And we'll see you next week with more Turn the Light On topical Bible study. Learn some stuff. Serious, man. You ready to learn some stuff? Because you guys got to get free, man. I'm trying to get free too. You know that, right? I haven't arrived. They say, Pastor hasn't arrived yet. 55 years, man. I've been doing this Jesus thing. I turned 21, man, and gave my life to Jesus. Turned 21 and quit drinking. Quit partying. Started hanging out with the Lord. And it was drastic. We were just talking about that this morning, weren't we, Dee? That was crazy. Amy, they know. Some of my high school buddies are in the room. Me and Amy even went to elementary school together, man. Did you have Miss Nunn in second grade? Miss Nunn? Who'd you have? Miss White? She's like, I don't even remember any of those people. I remember them all, man. I was the teacher's pet, man. I knew how to play the game, man, even in elementary school. Teacher dropped the chalk, man. I grabbed it. Here you go. I knew how to get an A. That worked all the way through high school. I made it through high school because I knew how to butter up the teachers, man. I was like, for real. My science teacher would be like, Radlin, you on that wacky weed again? I was like, no, man, not me. No, I don't do that. It's crazy. So today I want to talk to you a little bit about anxiety. Okay, we're doing a series right now. It's called Destroying the Power of Fear. And today's message is actually going to be called Uninstalling Anxiety. See, you need to have anxiety uninstalled from your life. It's part of the programming. It's in there. It's in the core root system of what's been given to you in life. How many guys have a Windows computer at home, and you had Windows installed, man. Has anybody's computer with Windows on it ever crashed? Come on, show of hands. Your computer ever crashed, you know? It's because your programs get all jumbled up, and they get all messed up, and sometimes you got to reinstall, and sometimes you got to uninstall some things in your computer. Now, Mac users, you don't have that problem. We understand. You pay big money for your computer, and we're just cheap. Right? It's the way it is. We're just cheap. So we buy a regular computer and we deal with the fact that we have to uninstall all the little things that come with the computer. You know, when you first turn your computer on, it's got all these little programs. It's like, oh, you need this, you need that, you need Spotify, you need Windows Media Player, and you got to go. And it's all these little programs that are trying to point you to go buy something for your computer, and it's what they call adware or spyware, things like that. You know, we're familiar with these things, right? Computer people. Some of y'all are like, I don't even turn computer on, Pastor. I just watch TV instead. Well, TV's feeding you the same stuff. It's all right. But we need to uninstall some programming in our mindset, and one of those is anxiety. It is not normal, and we're going to learn about that today. So what is anxiety? You guys ready to learn? Yeah. Ready to learn? Serious. This is going to be good stuff. So hang on. It's only 10:15. So, you know, service technically hasn't even started for another 17 minutes. So, you know, we got all day. Hang on. We're going to roll. And that's once again a subtle hint. They didn't get it last service and to change the clock in the back. So, you know, just subtle hints. So sooner or later, somebody will pull it down and turn the little thing behind it for an hour. But in the meantime, you guys get to stay longer. Isn't that amazing? So, yeah, we're going to go. All right, here we go. So what is anxiety? Anxiety is a feeling of fear. Shocker, right? It's a feeling of fear. Has anybody here ever experienced fear? We talked about fear last week. All the different things that go along with that. But here's the other part of what anxiety does. It creates dread. Anybody ever dreaded something? You know, like for me, it's the laundry pile at my house. I need an angelic host to help me with the laundry pile at my house because it just breeds dread into my life and anxiety. Because I work and I actually don't do a lot of the laundry, but I get into these fits of laundry rage. And I'm like, I am getting rid of this pile. And I do 12 loads and then I come back and then somebody brought 50 towels down from the upstairs bedroom. And you just can't seem to get ahead. 50 towels, no joke, right, Jacob? How many you got in your room right now? Huh? Five? I'm gonna call you on that one when we get home, all right? I think one time Jenna's room, we pulled what? 60 towels out of there? But so anxiety is, it's like dread and it's an uneasiness, you know? When you look at that thing, I'm uneasy about it. Look at this. It says it might cause you, if you have anxiety, to sweat. Everybody good? Anybody dealing with anything? Don't do it, you know? We don't want you like T-Rex arms. It's T-Rex worship. Jesus. Jesus. Yes, we love you, Jesus. Right? No T-Rex worship here. We go all in. But it might cause you to sweat, feel restless and tense, have a rapid heartbeat. It can be a normal reaction to what? Stress. I know none of you have stress, right? Any stress, anyone? A couple of you? Just a little, tiny bit, a couple, one, two of you, all right? The rest of you, you know, I'm glad to know you're okay. But hang on, we're gonna talk about it anyway for the three people that have stress. Okay, so for example, you might feel anxious when you're faced with a difficult problem at work. None of you ever have difficult problems at work, right? Look at your neighbor and go, I am the pastor's difficult problem at work. You didn't do it. Tell your neighbor. Say, I am his problem at work. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, it's before taking a test. Anybody ever taking a test? Come on, where's my school folks? Olivia, right? You ever take a test? You get nervous before a test? It's like, you know why I was always nervous before a test in high school? Because I knew I didn't study. I knew I didn't study, but before making an important decision as well. You know, that's the definition of anxiety right there. It's a feeling of fear, dread, and uneasiness that would cause you to sweat, feel restless and tense, have a rapid heartbeat, and it can be a normal reaction to stress, and you might feel anxious when you're faced with difficult problems at work, taking a test, or making an important decision. I broke it all up, so I wanted to read it one final time. So the bottom line is this: anxiety is worry. When you worry about things, you are anxious, and worry is fear. Right? Now I'm going to break it to you gently, but you know that anxiety disorders are the most common of all mental disorders. So, and they affect nearly 30% of adults in their lives at some time. So the bottom line is this: we're mental. We're mental. We have, if you're dealing with anxiety, then you have to learn to retrain your thinking. You need to uninstall anxiety and you need to reinstall in your process of thought the idea that I do not have to walk in fear and I do not have to worry about things in my life. Because we are, battling this thing in our minds. The battlefield is in your head. An anxious mind is not a normal mind. It's not normal. God didn't make us to be anxiety-driven people. We were, you know, the kingdom of God runs on what? Peace. Say, I have peace. I don't deal with anxiety. So, right? Because anxious minds are not normal. We are normal Christian, God-fearing, God-believing, Christian people. So we aren't playing by the same set of rules that the world is playing by out there. The world, through all the medias, through all that it's doing, is teaching and training us from birth to be anxious, to be depressed, to deal with fear and to be afraid of everything. And that is not what God has called us as Christians to be like. Look at this quote. I want to read this to you. It says, worrying does not take away tomorrow's trouble. It takes away today's peace. See, we're called to live in peace. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. It's my peace that I give to you. So if you're in worry, then you are actually investing in fear of what could possibly go wrong, and it's stealing your peace today. I'll let that one sink in. So we aren't called to be a people that worry. You know how I know that? Because my Bible says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, which is in your head, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. If you know that God is directing your path, you can walk in peace in the midst of chaos, because you know he is with you. All of heaven is behind you in that moment. And you know what? Not every circumstance works out the way we think it should work out. Does it? But God is with us. Unless we don't allow him to be with us. You see, he's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is never going to force his way into your life, into your situations, into your problems. You know, God wants to help you walk through all of these things. But we are too busy focusing and hyper-focusing on everything that we think is going wrong. I would venture to say that, and I didn't say this in the first service, but I feel led to say it. I would venture to say that the majority of your marital problems, you married folks, are based in the fact that you're in fear over something that's probably never going to happen, has never happened, or you're in fear that you're not going to get your way in a situation. Pastor, right in the back. My wife's going to use that one against me for a year. I had that happen to me with a pastor one time. He said, women are responders. And my wife has reminded me of that every time that we get in an argument. I'm responding to you. Thanks, Pastor. But worrying does not take away the trouble. You're going to face what you're going to face. Whatever's coming is coming. You know, whatever situation you're going to have to deal with in your life, you're going to have to deal with it. And God does prevent things, and prayer changes things. I'm not arguing that point, but we're all going to face trouble at some point. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You see, we can't keep looking at our trouble with the world's perspective. I mean, even in death itself, we have the victory. So, you know what? If you're worrying that you're going to get sick and you're going to die, you know, over some disease, then let yourself off the hook and know you're going to end up in heaven. It's going to be okay. And then you can have peace for the rest of the days you're still alive. Does that make sense? Are we connecting what anxiety is trying to do to us? It is stealing and robbing us of our joy. It's robbing you. It's stealing from you. It is useless to worry. We're going to talk about this more next week. But you see, the atmosphere of heaven is peace. And we should walk in peace every day of our lives. Look at Philippians 4:7. Let me back this up with scripture. It says, in the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, it's not enough for us to have Jesus in our heart and, yeah, I have peace. I know I'm saved. I'm good. Right? There's another half of this scripture. It says, let the peace of God transcend your understanding and in your minds. So it's the process of renewing your mind to God's perspective will bring you peace in your life. I've walked in peace so long that I had to really think about anxiety and the different times that I've had it in my life because I just trust the Lord. You know, this, I was saying at last service, some of the people that I've just been here at the church for a year and they're all just like, dude, you're crazy. I'm like, no, I know God's got me. You know, it's like, we're going to do an outreach to the community. We're going to do a big Easter extravaganza. And everybody's like, oh, and I'm like, we got this. God's with us. So I need 100 volunteers today because I believe in you. I'm trusting that God will provide for it. I'm not anxious about it. I know as a church we can do this. Will it be a lot of work? Yes. But we can have peace in the midst of it and we can reach our community. It's our first community outreach as a church to 528 to 520 all the way down Banana River Drive. We're sending a mailer out. We're going to have 20 different game stations, food. We're going to have like a little kids program over in the bubble running every 20 minutes. So we need people. We need food people. We need just people to run the games, to give out. Who doesn't like to give out candy to kids? We don't do it on Halloween. We do it on Easter around here. So come and help. But I can remember, though, I was you know, thinking about anxiety in my life, and I thought of a story. My wife already corrected me on how I told it in the last service. I was totally wrong. You know how it is, husbands, right? So we were on vacation. We're in North Carolina, and we're there, and we're skiing. Anybody like skiing? We weren't skiing. Well, my wife tried to ski, and what did the ski instructor say to you? He said you were hopeless. My gosh. He told her, do not go on the slopes at any moment, at any time. This little kid is able to do it, but you can't. He did, didn't he? It was crazy. We won't bring that up, though. I wouldn't want to get in trouble. That she didn't know I was going to tell that part of the story, or she'd have corrected me on that, too. Right? But anyway, so we're there. She's like, so we're on vacation. It's the last day of our vacation. One more time. Let's hit the slopes, and then we'll start driving home at noon. Car's packed. Me and Justin, right here, my son on the front row, right? We go to the slopes. He's in fifth grade, not eighth. It's eighth grade in the first service. Huh? What? And Jason was there. Wouldn't want to leave you out. You know? Oh, that's right, because I remember you were crying, man. You were freaking out. So Justin and I forgot about that in the first service. He was crying, man. For real, we were like, we lost our peace because Justin's like, hey, Dad, I'm going to go one more time down the slopes. I'm like, I'm tired. All right, you know, you look pretty good. Go ahead. He's in fifth grade. 20 minutes, 30 minutes, he's not come back down off of the slope. Next thing I hear, we need Kevin Radlin to sick bay. I'm like, that's not good. My peace began to lift. You know how that is, right? Come to find out that he had hit a light pole full speed doing an aerial maneuver that he wouldn't try to do in front of me because I'd say, what are you doing? And so he's like, I got one more run. I'm going. And he went gangbusters and busted his gang. So they said, your son's up on the slopes. We're bringing him down in a stretcher. He may have ruptured his spleen. And we don't know. We're going to try to get him to the hospital. I got no phone signal. I can't call Lisa. So I have to put him in an ambulance and then drive to our hotel to go get my wife and tell her they just put our son in an ambulance and it's probably an injury like Sonny Bono died from on the ski slope, where if you rupture your spleen, chances are you don't make it to the hospital in time. You bleed out internally and die. So I lost my peace, you think? And that's one moment I can remember fear gripping us and gripping us as a couple and us having to really buckle down and go, all right, God, we're going to have to trust you right now more than we've ever had to trust you ever in our lives. I really did feel the weight of that. Anxiety gripped me for a moment. But I knew I couldn't stay there because I had work to do as a dad, as a parent, you know. And I knew that we had to get in agreement with God that the situation was going to be okay. And obviously you can see it is. Justin's right here on the front row. But his spleen was cracked in 5 places. And the sac around it did not rupture. Had it ruptured, that probably would have been, you know, his ticket to heaven. Which would have been good, but it wasn't the best, right? But the temptation to just be scared and fear, and for that thing to grip us in that moment and just torment us and drag us through the mud of its fearfulness. We had to lay that aside, and we had to pray, and we had to trust God, and we had to go drive to the hospital. And then as we found out, you know, he was conscious, you know, because he had knocked himself out, man. He had a big bruise on his chin. Hit that thing pretty hard, didn't you? You even remember? He said he could still feel it. But we had to find our peace. And some of you have situations going on in your life. You need to find your peace again today. Today. So my belief is that an angel held that spleen together. How would you like to get that job, man? The angel hanging on, going down the slope, you know. Pre-assignment, you know. Hold that spleen together. Really? You know, he's... Yeah. But we all face anxiety and fear, don't we? What do you think the number one fear is in the world? Public speaking. No, it's not that one. What is it? Leaving your house? Okay, no, but I'm glad you're here this morning. What is that? No, loss of a child, but that's not it. Number one fear in the world. What are people afraid of the most? Death? No, it's not even death. Nope, spiders. Watch this video. You know how hard it is to find a spider fear video without cuss words in it? All right, that's good. I mean, these people are legitimately afraid. We're not going to watch the whip scorpion. It's too much. You guys can't take the whip scorpion. Go ahead and take that off. Yeah, it's like a cricket and a cockroach mingled. So, yeah, anyway. So here we are, number one phobia in the world, arachnophobia. And I was so proud of these people for dealing with what they dealt with. And we also have a men and women's Bible study of The Chosen Thursday at 6:30. Don't forget that. But phobias, the top 10 phobias in the world. Did it lock up on you? Sorry. They're trying. God must really want you guys to be at this. There we go. So here we go. What do you think the top 10 most common fears are that people have, other than the chosen slide coming up in the middle of your message? So one is acrophobia, the fear of heights. We're going to be able to show them? Working on it. Here we go. Got to have these. Yep. Oh, rebooting. This is called, this is where I stall. You ready? Watch this. This is where you get paid the big bucks, you know, when you can. So, you know, but we, you know, when we talk about fears, there are all these different fears, and they're just scratching the surface of what the real level of fear is that the enemy is selling out there in the world. Man, there is so much fear for sale out there, and we're at the register and we're buying it every day, aren't we? We're buying into it, and we're allowing fear to have too much place. And when we buy into fear, it actually breeds in us anxiety. Okay, so the first one would be acrophobia, which is the fear of heights. Who's the heights people? Cody? Yeah. Okay, you know, I won't call you out by name, just Cody. You know, but everyone have fear of heights. Like, I freak people out on construction sites. I'll go three stories up a ladder with nobody holding it at the bottom. No problem. You know, it's all about riding it down. You never go try to go backwards when a ladder is falling. You ride with it, right, Coy? And then you roll out at the end. You roll. You know? So fear of heights. Next one is the fear of planes. Who's my fear of planes people? Come on. You don't like to fly. You don't like to fly. Why don't you like to fly? Because it's going to crash and it's going to plummet. Or you just don't like because your ears pop? Yeah, they can do that too. So we have a fear of flying. Next one on the top 10 list is claustrophobia. Okay, I have actually dealt with this one. I went on a cave expedition. Anybody ever been in the caves, you know, and stuff? They're like, oh, it's so nice in here. They're like, we're going to go down this little hallway. If you're claustrophobic, you shouldn't go. I'm like, oh, I'm not claustrophobic. Man, I got right in line number three from the front, you know. And they take us down this crevice, and it comes all the way to about right here, you know. And my shoulders are hitting on both sides, and there's 60 people behind me down this crevice. And we're all in there, and they're gonna turn the lights out, and I get in there, and the sweats start coming, the heart starts fluttering. I'm like, what is this? What is happening to me right now? And I'm like, I need to go, I need to get out. And they're like, we told you if you're claustrophobic, don't go in there. I said, I just figured it out right now. Okay, I was good, but now I'm not. And they know that you'll start climbing over people and stuff, you know. I mean, I was there. I was ready. I was like, hey, man, I'm coming over you, man. Better get moving. And I'm like, all right. So I understand the...
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Once again, I hope you enjoyed the program today. Thanks again to our sponsors, and we hope that each and every one of you are blessed in Jesus' name. If you need more information about the church, you can go to our lighthouse.net or give the office a call at 321-452-1012. God bless you guys.